This is a previously recorded episode. This broadcast is coming to you live from the IT in the D studios above Activate Gaming in the Trinet corporate offices in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to the Undercard, officially July 21st. We're back. That's the most important thing. Everybody's here that if you followed us from the Hamtramck radio station. Hamtramck radio network. We're back. First off, we got to say huge thanks to Bob and David from IT and the D for inviting us over. That's the most important thing. Giving us a platform to continue on.
I believe we've made it well known that basically we put out bowls of milk or bowls of beer, and then people just never leave. That's what happens.
Hey, it works.
Hey, you know
what? Dude, it's a pleasure to have you guys here. I'm glad it worked out.
Sweet. Very cool. We took off a little bit more time than we probably wanted to, but you know what? It was good. It was refreshing. The worst part about doing it is everywhere I went, and Rochelle will verify this, everywhere I went, the question is, well, when are you guys going back on the air?
Right.
So you're like fending off that question. Because
absence makes
the
heart grow fonder.
Right. But like every event I'd go to, that was the number one question.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, I'm just back now to get that question off, you know, and continue
That's
on.
It. You're just sick of answering questions.
I'm done. I'm here. I blame half of Dana White, too. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So. Oh, why?
But, yeah, you know, like I said, it's great to be back. And, you know, David has great ideas for this network. And so we're very happy to be a part of it and everything like that. So we got a great
show. I have no ideas. We're completely winging it.
Hey, you know what? Some of the best ideas in the world came from, hey, you know what? We'll make it up as we go along.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
But yeah, so much time off. We got to recap a little bit what everyone's been up to. So we'll start off with Marv. I mean, it's been almost. We figured out we didn't want to end quite in May.
Yeah,
we had to end in May.
We were kind of not
forced.
Given. Yeah. A choice. Our choice was no choice.
We were voluntold. That we couldn't
Here's
no
the thing.
Longer be
You were kind of like me in Catholic school. You weren't really kicked out. You were just invited not to re-enroll for the following year.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that was it. Yeah. It was
exactly.
Like, you know, maybe you forget how to get here after today.
Well,
maybe
yeah.
You just take us out of your GPS.
Yeah. No, you know, the other, we call them the Hamtramck.
I have other words for
them. We know you do, Mark.
We thank them for the original opportunity and
everything
absolutely.
Like
that. But yeah, we did have a specific plan. We were going to go up to a certain number and then come over here about the 150 mark. We're at officially episode 149.
Yes. I would like to say, though, it is nice to see that even though we're in a new location, new network, some things don't change. We still have to go upstairs to get to the studio.
One flight.
It's only one flight of stairs this time, but we still have to go upstairs. And to take a pee, I still have to go all the way back to where we came up the stairs. And I would say that...
But they're not scary, creepy, rapey bathrooms.
That was going to be...
And there's no microwave or guy doing spreadsheets in them.
Exactly. Yes, that's... I was going to put... Like, I feel completely at ease... taking my junk out and going to the bathroom there. I'm at the old place. At the old place, I had to get home and soak my junk in like peroxide and alcohol because something jumped on.
No, actually, that was more from what you were doing before you got to the radio.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
The green room couch.
I have shots to inoculate me from all that other stuff. That's what I'm saying about those other bathrooms is you don't know what's jumping on and going home with you.
Right, exactly.
Here, it's fine. Like, I actually aired it out. I wandered around the bathroom.
I will say I will miss the random people that would show up, like guy playing an accordion, guy, you know, dressed up like Batman.
Or what about the hot little artist that was across the hall with the red door?
Yes.
Andrea. We do miss her. She
Is
actually,
she the one with the long skateboard?
Yep. And she she actually reached out to ask us where the hell we've been. Because she used to come over and have drinks and
hang out. Oh, nice.
And did you put out a bowl of milk for her?
We did. Yeah. But she's dedicated to her art studio.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. What are you going to do? Well, remember, actually, one of our last shows, we're like in the middle of the show, and we just hear, like, remember, like, the huge bang and, like, a rumble of whatever.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of random things, and we Jimmy and I go and open the door, and there was just a dude rolling a giant dumpster down the fourth floor. How he got it up there, I have no idea.
Cargo elevator.
No, I don't. Wasn't working.
The elevator wasn't working. He was just hauling a giant dumpster down the hallway.
Like a floor was just coming down.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
And but the creepiest thing about that was inside the dumpster was just a bunch of rolled up carpet that looked a little bit too human.
Person-y?
Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You could very easily fit 3-4 bodies in there.
Yeah. You know. Yeah,
the best part about the old studio was the Batmobile footage that I have, which is still the best Batmobile footage out there. Yeah. We just not found a platform to launch it without a suit.
You it's a trade-off. So nobody's filming Batman versus Superman here, but also nobody's filming torture porn here either.
Yes.
So I mean, also that you might inadvertently wind up an extra
porn.
In.
Also,
or just regular porn.
That was 2 doors down.
Yeah.
So you have a picture of the Batmobile, but you don't have mesothelioma. That's always good.
Exactly.
Because that factory was shuttered in like 1984, and it hasn't been cleaned yet.
Yeah. I will say though that I will miss the ghost hunts.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that we can't go back. And
yeah, I mean,
no,
you
that's true.
As you know, you can just wander in there at will.
It was so tough there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are you guys doing? Hunting ghosts? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, you know, we'll be back doing ghost hunts. And, you know, actually, Jason Nadaski was like, hey, we got to get back together. This was before we were making the jump over here. And, you know, we got some cool stuff planned because the ghost hunts are, like, you know,
huge.
Fun stuff to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And people like it, you know, and all of a sudden, like, you know, numbers go up when we talk ghosts. So
right.
we'll definitely do it.
Those are all the, you know, deceased that are clicking on, oh, I like that.
Right. And then last Tuesday was an impossibility because I actually got to see Neil Young for the first time. Because Neil Young's like a guilty pleasure for me. And then he did work with Pearl Jam, too.
Oh, like, you mean like a ghost?
In concert. No,
Neil
no,
Young as a ghost at the...
No,
he dead?
In concert. No.
Oh, I could have swore he was dead.
No.
He was kicking.
He's
strangest
close.
Concert, though, man. He just comes out there and does it his way. Didn't talk to the audience for like 2 hours. And then finally said hello.
Yeah. So he was phoning it in.
Went past curfew, which they have a strict curfew. So he owed $10,000 or $11,000 to the Pine Knob for going over 10 or 11 minutes. They're the ones with the strict curfew because of the neighborhoods surrounding it. So he came out and did like another encore and stuff. But yeah, he just comes out there and he opens up acoustically and does his like 5 hits. And then he's like, now I'm going to shove the new album down your face. And that's what he did. He played 9 out of the 10 songs
like
off the new albums.
A
plugged in.
For, you know, being against Walmart, being against Starbucks.
And anti-GMO, which
anti-GMO,
I am.
Anti-GMO, yeah.
You know, it's just
But it
expensive.
Was like reading a pamphlet. That's what the hour of songs that we didn't know was about.
Right, his lyrics were very, like, if he, you know, he didn't have to say anything somebody wrote in the Detroit News because, like, his lyrics are so, like, okay, well, he's anti-this, anti-that. But, man, what a range of crowd. You had everyone from, oh, my God. We had babies there
Did any old ladies throw their granny panties on stage?
No.
Dang it!
No.
That would have been awesome.
We did have our tickets upgraded, which was absolutely cool because it's not like I paid for the tickets to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And then they were upgraded even better.
So you were upgraded to like the geriatric seating? Happy.
No. We were probably 15 rows back,
20.
Maybe. 20, okay.
You're like, come right this way to the oops, I crap my pants section.
No. But so that was cool. And then
this section's sponsored by Depends.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do last Tuesday. And then the Rolling Stones were like a couple weeks before. So
yeah.
Like, I've been trying to stay busy.
The week before.
Trying to stay busy, you know. And
aren't
I have
also
been boxing. I've been on ESPN Hawaii with Emily Gale mm-hmm. a few times. I was actually on Cave Radio the other day, which mm-hmm. was cool. So we've been doing the radio rounds. Well, yeah, Liz was there, too. Say hi to everyone, Liz. Just be like, come
hi.
On. There you go.
That was great. Nobody heard anything.
They're doing a Sunday show. It's called Caged in the Cave. They do a Sunday show at 10, and I told them our horror stories of, like, noon at on Sunday was just impossible.
Sunday at 10?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Those guys?
Yep.
No, not Eric.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he's alive at 10 o'clock on a Sunday.
No, I think we're competing against that show. Like, if you're listening live, but now, you know, the podcasting thing's not a huge deal. So, but yeah, our show's back. Everyone's here. We got Jimmy, Marv. David's teaching the board a little bit to Rochelle, and then David's helping us out, too. And then Anthony's in the studio with us. And then Emily T. Gale.
Nobody puts Anthony in the corner.
Emily T. Gale is a lady. I've been on her radio show now, I think, two times in the last 3 months, maybe. And she's the one that coined the phrase, say nice things about Detroit, and is like a Detroit legend. When I walk around with her, people stop her to, like, take pictures
strangers.
With her. Strangers. And she's just, like, Detroit celebrity. So we're going to talk about last time we had her on, she talked about boxing history. But we're going to talk about the origin of the phrase, how she used to fly it over states back in the day and just get people to say nice things about Detroit. And so she has, like, a common goal with us in trying to make Detroit, you know, a special place and stuff like that. So this Saturday, though, we will be at Taylortown, June 25th. It is TFC Fight Zone. You can catch me. I will be there. Lots of fighters. This is a tournament format, but the best part about this tournament format is it's a blind draw. So what happens is these people are preparing to fight, but they don't know who they're fighting. On Friday, they draw from a hat, and they will learn their opponent that night. It's the first state championship, technically, ever. But if you want to factor in what UFC was doing when they would come in here, maybe that might have been some sort of tournament championship or something like that. But TFC, that's happening. So we're going to be, once again, hitting the town in supporting local MMA and supporting local boxing and stuff like that. So the other problem with, like, staying away, too, is, like, Dana White just keeps doing stuff that everybody wants a comment on. So I get a message every time this guy talks.
Right.
And then I got to really think about, will this be something that I'll never be invited to UFC ever? Or is this something okay to say? On Sunday, I think they caught me on Caged in the Cave on a pretty rare moment where I was, like, half asleep. I was just going to town. Like, I was just like, this is wrong. And so, you know, because we're an honest MMA boxing show, I was just going to give you what I thought has gone on. We've been away for a little bit. We knew they were going to come out with some uniforms.
Yep.
The uniforms were unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
The whole goal is that, just like Dave wears hockey jerseys, Dana White wants people to wear these UFC ugly jerseys.
Right.
They're just hideous.
Not that your hockey jerseys are.
No, hockey.
Hey, man, even my puppets weren't a hockey jersey. Let's be clear.
I know, it's just awesome.
Hockey sweaters are glorious. Don't even say I wear them, too.
I know.
Canada, Team
Canada. Not only do you wear them, you wear, like, a signed, right? Don't you have, like, a.
No, it was
worn.
He actually wore.
It was
worn. Yeah, it's a game worn, and Brad just walks around in it.
Yeah.
And it's not just anybody's.
No, it's.
It's my idol, Steve Eisen.
It's the captain.
Right.
Yeah. He just walks around in it.
When he has the flu, he wears it
around the house. Yeah. So he can smell Iserman.
So the whole deal is champions will wear black, and then everybody else will be in the colors of their country, and they just look bad. They look American gladiators.
Yeah.
When it was rolled out, clearly people were going to lose some money.
Yeah.
You can't tell me the people are on the lower end of the totem pole are making what they used to make with sponsors when now you tell them that they can't get sponsors unless you approve of it. I haven't seen one person, and you can say, Brad, that's really a small little group of nails you're holding onto there, but I've not seen one person, and I hang around an MMA crowd, that has bought one of these things from a sporting goods store yet. So I've not seen anyone wearing these jerseys anywhere.
Okay.
The true test of it will be a lot of friends are going to see our friend Darren Crushank. He's fighting in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to United Center and don't buy any of that stuff, then I'm going to say it's a fail.
Yep.
Because these are the people that train with Darren Crushing.
Right.
So, but when the fights happened, I forgot what they were wearing. So it doesn't like control your look on it. But this is a hideous idea. Like, I really think that they will look down in the road and say this was a bad idea. The other reason it's a bad idea is now you give Bellator some reason to have something to sell to a fighter. Here you're Bellator, and you're always going to lose to UFC. But you can get those mid-range fighters, those lower-end fighters now, and say, listen, we didn't take away your sponsorships.
Right.
We're not taking away your freedom. You can go out and get sponsors. And they have something to sell now, like anti-Dana
White. To draw fighters away from UFC.
Would you wear one?
Absolutely. Well, no, but I mean, I wouldn't look good in spandex.
Well, no, like the loose tank top.
I know what you mean. I don't look good in that guy. Maybe if I looked like Anthony Barnes over here, maybe I would buy one. But
you wear a UFC Conor McGregor shirt into an Irish bar, and you will get your ass beat by the end of the night. Somebody's going to challenge you on that.
Yeah.
They're going to be Mr. Trainer.
That doesn't happen with hockey jerseys.
Right. No. But then again.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wore anything UFC or MMA, you know, even if you wore a T-shirt that said Conor McGregor on it, you know, once the beer and liquor starts flowing, somebody's going to start going, hey, man, I want to fight you because you think you're tough because you're wearing a UFC shirt. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a Reebok shirt or a MMA shirt, T-shirt, whatever. You're still going to have that kind of mentality where someone's going to want to fight you.
That's the question I have. How much are these things?
I have no idea. You would have to go on the UFC store. I mean, I haven't researched it enough to like.
Yeah, look it up, Jimmy.
I absolutely love it. See, I have an Anthony Barnes shirt on here, and he's in studio. And if someone came up to me and said, you're wearing an Anthony Barnes shirt, so you must think you're tough, I'll be like, I don't think I'm tough.
I think Anthony Barnes is tough.
And he's within a phone call away.
Right, exactly.
So that's how I'd approach that situation.
Yeah.
And I'd be calling him. Be like, I got in some trouble at this bar. Can you meet me up here in 5 minutes? And that's what we do. Give me an idea what a kit or something.
That's what I'm trying to find. Let's see. Let's go to.
There's Conor McGregor.
Let's do Conor McGregor because he's the hottest thing right now.
All right, $27.
About $27
for a T-shirt.
$33 is a Tribe Lens shirt. That's the that's the most expensive one. There's 24.
Those are just T-shirts.
Yeah, just T-shirts.
Find the jerseys that Dana wants you to wear.
Yeah. Hold on. Do they even sell them to the public yet?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you can buy it right here.
Like they advertise on the UFC thing. Everything was like buy at UFC, the last fight, the UFC 189. But that's my first beef with Dana White is that the whole way that they handled it with Reebok, I think it was kind of – the fighters still don't know where they stand in it. So that's a situation we'll watch over the coming weeks.
Well, we've talked about this before, even just like when you compare like UFC, MMA to like even football or hockey. And like people, you stand behind your team, right? Like I'm a diehard fan of a team. So like year after year, I'll buy shirts. You know, like do people really – am I really going to buy a T-shirt or whatever for a fighter? Like people really stay loyal to a fighter all that long? I mean, once he starts losing, I'm done with him now, right? I'm not wearing that shirt anymore. Am I going to go out and buy another shirt? Maybe. I don't know. I just don't think the loyalty is there.
You know how many Brandon Inge jerseys I still see walking around Comerica?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it's because it's Tigers, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Right? I have no loyalty to UFC, you know? Right. Like, I don't know. I just,
well,
I don't.
Was that a nostalgia thing? I mean, people grew up with Tigers, you know? There's kids now growing up with UFC, but only on a certain level. It's still
I'm tied to the Tigers like it's my team. It's my home team.
But there is none like that for UFC because
that's what I'm saying.
There's no like, well, these are the Michigan fighters against the
right.
The Ohio
that's
fighters.
Exactly what I'm saying.
You're proving his point. Is what he's
thank
saying.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
You're preaching to the choir here.
But at the other side,
anyway. There are fighters like Conor McGregor. Who, like, all of Ireland are behind them.
Oh, no.
You know? No.
You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily.
I don't think all of Ireland is behind anything that's not beer.
Yeah. Or a sheep. They're often behind a sheep.
Right.
And I say
Scotsman.
That.
You know why Scotsmen wear kilts? So the sheep can't hear the zippers?
That's right. You take them to the edge of a cliff, they keep backing up into it. You wear the high boots so you can shove their hind legs down in there. They can't get away from you.
Moving on.
I had a problem one time. I just couldn't do it with one of them. My buddy went around to the front. He pulled his hair up and said, oh, well, geez, you got the ugliest one.
Oh, man. Conor McGregor, men's Reebok, black UFC champion jersey, $94.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
$94.
But that's the Reebok thing that he wears. Right, exactly.
Who cares?
Right, exactly.
Are you $94?
Like I said, wear that on St. Patrick's Day at some tent party and see if you don't get in two or four fights on the way
out. But why would you buy that when you can just buy a $25 t-shirt?
Because
I'm saying.
They're hoping it sells like hockey jerseys.
And it won't.
It's not good.
Speaking of David talking about Brandon Inge jerseys and stuff like that, I had a friend that was like the ultimate jinx. He's Marv knows him, actually. He'd buy a jersey, and literally that guy's career would end by injury. He would be traded, or all of a sudden he's batting .350 and is all of a sudden in the 200s and can't get out of this slump. Like, without fail, dude. Yeah. I remember when he had the Zumaya jersey on, and I was like, this can't be good. Sure enough, the guy gets injured playing Guitar Hero, and it just rides out injuries forever. So much that if you had a favorite player, you would probably pay this guy not to buy the jersey of him. Like, if I see him wearing a Cabrera jersey, I'll cry. I'll be like, don't do this to a good guy.
Just rip it off of him. You take that off right now.
Take that off right now. You return it, and you wash it before you give it back, and you never jinx that guy again. But he was notorious for it. The biggest thing was people who get traded, too. It would just be like, you know, as soon as he wore it, I was like, oh, boy. And then there.
Well, the Tigers are talking about, you know, trades and stuff. Has he bought any jerseys?
No, but Cabrera's on the DL, so I got to ask him if he bought a Cabrera jersey. First time ever in his career, so it's a little suspicious.
Right.
So, you know, it could have possibly happened. The other thing we want to bring up about UFC as we move along with the show is that the love for Conor McGregor by Dana White was just a little weird for me. It just kept growing and growing and growing.
So to speak.
Like, you're supposed to be neutral. You head the organization.
Right.
You know, and he's sitting there going, oh, this guy, you know, he's crazy. He bet us that he'd knock the guy out in two rounds, this much millions, and I've never seen this, I've never seen that. Blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that.
Do you think he's doing it specifically to try to hype up a fighter to the point where people are going to want to watch him?
Oh, yeah. There's monetary value in what he does. But he's in a unique unique situation in which, I've said this a million times, UFC fighters are employees. It's not like a promoter. If I was Anthony Barnes' promoter and I'm sitting there going, you've not seen somebody like this before, that's different. He's supposed to be neutral. Saying that, you know, hey, I you know, Mendez, Conor McGregor, be a good fight. It just, when he gets crazy in love, whether it be Ronda, whether it be Conor McGregor or whoever it is, it just comes off so over the top that I get a little bit sick of UFC.
Okay.
It started to become a little bit wrestling there with Conor McGregor. And wrestling sells.
Hey, what's wrong with the wrestling?
Oh, no, nothing. But I'm just saying, we have
not when it's marketed as wrestling. It's wonderful.
Right. We have the WWE outlet. So the mad love for Conor McGregor started getting a little too crazy. Then, with the Aldo case, in which Aldo says it was a broken rib, Dana White could have just took in the high road and said, you know what, it's an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he attacked Aldo. Like, just said, questioned his toughness.
Yeah.
Not only questioned his toughness, said it was not a break. So I don't know. If you're Aldo, you want to come back and kill Dana's pretty boy.
Right.
And splatter Conor all over the place. But that's, once again, not the way I would predict somebody that ran an organization to treat somebody. But we've seen him do it before. Right. When he gets mad at somebody, he gets mad at somebody. So Mendez steps in. I made the crazy Mendez pick. But Mendez was winning the fight in a lot of situations, but he just didn't clearly have the cardio from only training for 2 weeks. And Conor McGregor wins. I will still say this really quickly, and I almost wanted to hit the bell on this. That was a too quick of a stop by Herb Dean. I don't care what you say. He was still protecting himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sat ringside at almost every event. He knew how close it was to the bell. And I think Mendez earns the right to come out for that third round.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped it with three strikes. Clearly it caught Mendez. Mm-hmm. He goes down. He covers the back of his head, and there's two more strikes. And Herb Dean waves it off. And that, you cannot tell me that was not a quick stop, man. And I'm not saying there's a fix in or anything like that.
Yeah,
God, that was weird.
Not saying there's not a fix in, though.
Well, I think
no, because there's so much money in Vegas. There's so much money in Vegas. If they found out, they would take the UFC out in the desert. And like, literally, you can't fix sports. And Anthony will tell you now, there's so much money in these sports. It's not like the old days. And the way social media is, you can't hide a fix anymore. You know, I tell you, you're on Twitter talking about it.
Right.
Back in the day, It was like you had to call people on a landline to make that stuff start to happen.
I think Jimmy, the fix is in. See,
exactly
over the wire. Hey, all 325. See,
That's just in.
Morse code over
The fix is in.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, like.
No, I think Herb Dean just jumped the gun. I think he got, he, I don't, I mean, he's a great ref, too, and it's so unlike him to do something like that, that it's kind
of
weird.
It happens to a lot of men.
Yeah, well.
It's a little premature, it happens. You got to stop things early.
Yeah. I just think he just jumped the gun, didn't really pay attention to his surroundings and the time of the round and all that kind of stuff. So he made a mistake.
Right. But the UFC 189 card, the fight before it, had Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald.
Yes.
Amazing fight. Probably the best fight I've ever seen.
I said it, like, when I started watching UFC was right around the time, like, really watching UFC was right around the time of, like, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. And those were brawls. Those were battles. And I have not seen that very much in the UFC since then until this fight. This was a war of attrition, and it was probably one of the most exciting fights I've seen in a very, very long time.
So Big John McCarthy was the ref for that fight.
Yep.
Did not stop it until Rory McDonald said, I can no longer go. My nose is in my forehead.
He got hit, and you can see in the slow motion replay, he gets hit. It takes a second to register, and then he just grabs his nose, his knees buckle, and he goes down. He was done. He could not take it anymore. I actually think he hit him so hard. Well, not only the pain, but I think he hit him so hard that there was, like, it was just such a shock to the body, he physically could not stand anymore. Because it's not like I got hit in the nose, my nose is broken, I'm going down. There was nothing left. There was nothing left of his lip.
Was Lawler's lip.
Yeah, Lawler
would talk and blood would squirt.
Yeah.
It would open up like a pie shape. It was horrible. But
it was awesome.
You can't tell me that Herb Dean didn't know of that fight. Either he's watching it in the back or you stopped that early after seeing a fight like that where those guys go crazy.
Well, maybe actually that might have been something that occurred where somebody might have said to Herb Dean, don't let it go that far.
But it was nowhere near.
It was nowhere near.
No, I know.
Mendez
was safe. And maybe that's why he jumped the gun, because he was afraid it was going to go that far.
There was no time left in the round for it to go.
And Mendez was covering himself.
Right.
If Mendez is not protected and knocked out.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No, he's a great ref. Probably my favorite. But Big John McCarthy. Let's talk really quickly about that fight, because it was the best fight I've ever seen. What a bloody mess.
Oh, I know.
Seriously. You know, they sell those aprons afterwards, and you would need a lot of shots to even touch that man.
Oh.
But there was blood everywhere. Dude.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the toughness of both of the fighters is just unparalleled. I mean.
Right. Something out of a Rocky movie. There was a part where we're watching it, and the fighters didn't even know what corner to go back to.
I know.
Then they're fighting on instinct. In front of it.
Yeah, because they couldn't see.
No.
Both sides are winning back and forth, back and forth. And then we were talking about the injuries. They both go to the hospital.
Yeah.
They have that classic picture where Rory McDonald hopefully will be able to fight again, because it did seriously look like his nose was in his forehead.
Fractured right foot and fractured nose.
All I remember seeing was like just a little bit, you know, the...
It was like in his head, like in the sinus cavity. That's what it looked like to me.
It looked like someone had just like went like this.
Yeah, not to be mean, he looked like the kid from Mask. And that's like being nice, dude.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Leave Eric Stoltz alone!
he did not look good. And then you had Robbie Lawler with this huge cut that just it went up. And every time he would talk, they're...
Why so serious?
Yeah, exactly. Why so serious? Like he cut it like the Joker.
Yeah. You went, I tell you how I got these scars.
So we have what's his name? Oh, my mind went blank. Interviewing him after the fight, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And every time he talks, everybody where I was watching the fight just goes ooh, stop talking. And that's the part where the fighters start to realize how much damage they've done.
Yeah.
I've seen that come down go quick, where like all of a sudden like they're in the back of the locker room and like, oh man, I'm gonna need stitches.
Talk about his other injuries, like on his orbital bone.
Oh, his orbital bone looked broke.
He had
too.
Stitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other guy, they weren't really doing much for
him. It's still Stitch's team, but Robbie Lawler was clearly getting better cut work.
Exactly.
And he was able to get out there. I don't know. If you're Stitch and you see that lip, I don't know how you don't stop the fight. When you're Big John McCarthy and you see that nose just totally cave in, I don't know how you don't stop that fight. It's amazing that that fight continued to go along. And this is what I've said from 2 years doing the undercard. We will see a death in MMA. It's going to come. And it happens in boxing. Anthony, how many a year? Maybe four?
Yeah, something like that, about four.
Not always in America, but around the world somebody dies from boxing.
Yeah.
That is probably the closest we've seen to somebody probably dying in the octagon, where these guys clearly had a lot of damage going to them. So if you're Rory McDonald's corner, what I was saying on other talk shows and stuff, how do you not stop the fight so the kid lives to fight another day? Because now who knows when he'll fight again.
Right.
And if he will ever be effective again, because where are you going to punch him? The nose to go after it again.
Yep.
And then same with Robbie Lawler. You wanted the win, but at the point, how much damage did both these guys do in which it will maybe spin out of control for their career, in which that they won't be able to – maybe they both lost that night is what I'm saying, and we'll see the damage later on that both these guys cannot continue being warriors that they
maybe are. McDonald will get a detachable nose that he can take off before a fight.
The comfy dance? Like,
I'm just saying technology being what it is.
Okay, gotcha.
We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
I gotcha.
He's not the $6 million man. He's not astronaut.
Well, he isn't anymore now that Dana White took all of his endorsements away.
That's true. Yeah.
But a great card of undercard fights, and it was probably the UFC's crowning moment here. And they had the spotlight on them. It's between Conor and Ronda right now because Jon Jones is still battling his demons. And so good for UFC. A couple other things we want to talk MMA before we go to our first music break here is that look at Invicta, okay? Mm-hmm. And I love Shannon Knapp and what she does over there, right? But Floyd Mayweather knows when he'll fight, right? And he's must-see TV. Even
right.
My MMA friends will stop what they're doing and go up to Hooters, go up to BW,
right.
And watch the fight.
Right.
He clearly knew he was fighting September 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
She could have picked any day to throw her next mm-hmm. Invicta fight. She picked September 12th.
Yeah.
You fire that personal assistant.
Yep.
You say, why wasn't it marked off on the calendar?
Right.
And expect two people and crickets in the audience.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, she'll have people there. But
yeah.
How do you even compete against that? Like, literally.
You can't. I mean, not legitimately, but.
It's on public TV now, too.
So. Right.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean,
that's the other thing,
you don't
too,
even have to pay. Turn
right.
it on CBS.
Well, yeah. then I'll just DVR it and I'll go watch Invicta.
See, Invicta, I love the product, right? But you can't make bad decisions like
right.
that. Because what happens is, prime example, someone will give me the results before I'm able to watch Invicta. And then from there, it goes from 100% interested to 50-40.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
if, whoa, see, just like the old studio where I didn't have my phone turned off. but anyways, so you can't make a mistake like that when you're rising up, you know, and continuing to be a growing organization. But other than that, Rachel Ostovich, who was on our show once, and KGB, Andrea mm-hmm. Lee, they're both fighting.
Oh, cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Some good fights coming up. But yeah, we're going to gradually, over the next few weeks, lay out what I've observed over the summer. But that's the take on MMA right now, you know, and come out on TFC Fight Zone on this Saturday. So we're going to queue up our first musical break here. And then we're going to be back with Anthony Barnes, who has exciting fight coming up here, back
Ooh.
Again in Texas.
Yeah, yep.
You almost fought more out of state than in Michigan, buddy.
I know.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
At least you don't have to worry about family and friends and tickets, all that. Oh, those
yeah,
days
all,
are done.
All that's done.
Done.
Yeah, now if they come out, I give them tickets and they come see the fight.
Yeah, but so. You're in Texas.
Yeah, and I still have a lot of people coming for you. Know?
I forgot Marv hates Texas.
Yeah.
But all right, so we're going to go to our first music break. David's just going to pick some songs here, and we'll be back.
This is a previously recorded episode.
All right, welcome back to the undercard, everybody. Is it working?
Yes.
Are we
okay.
ready now? Okay. Are we back? We're not sure.
Episode 149. We're joined by Anthony Barnes here. Marv has okay. been enjoying.
Oh, I love it. I was saying, I don't know if this went out earlier. We had some tech, but like, I love our new home. I have meat sticks. I have Chicago mix popcorn. I have gorgeous women across the table from me, a couple of handsome men, you know, that's cool. I love this place, and I may never leave.
There you go.
I'm staying. Done and done.
So we'll be joined by Anthony Barnes here, who has an upcoming fight in Texas coming up again. That was where your last fight was.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of work for you too.
Yeah.
You fought a guy that hadn't lost in quite some time.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned to me out in the hallway you're fighting somebody that's 9-7.
Yeah, I'm fighting a guy that's 9-7 with 7 knockouts. He's never been stopped before. He's just a really tough guy. His name is James Freeman, and you know, he's actually from Texas. He's fought 10 rounders, he fought 8 rounders, so he has more ring experience than me. I think he boxed like 77 pro rounds. I've only boxed 15. It's gonna be a really good test for me, and I'm just really excited to go back.
Yeah, you've only fought 15 rounds because your fights are over in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well,
I've made no secret of that. I've never seen more than 8 seconds of you fight because like I see it and then like I turn and I say something to Jimmy and I turn back and the fight is over.
Well, that's kind of why I was happy that the last fight went the way it did. You know, obviously, I want to knock out and I want to win. And yeah. I did win, so I have no excuse for it. But, you know, I went 6 rounds for the first time and, you know, it got me experience. So
right.
This time I don't have to. So I'm
right. So this time.
First time.
All right, good. Yeah, exactly. Good.
You know, well, first time ever.
And if he's from Texas, it shouldn't be hard.
Well, you know, only 2 things come out from Texas.
And I don't see any horns on this guy.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
This fight you can watch on TopRank.tv. There's a mobile app that you can watch. It streams it perfectly. You can watch online. You also mentioned the network. What network is it going to be?
Unimas. I'm pretty sure the whole card is going to be televised.
Very
not 100%,
cool.
But I know the main event will for sure. So
very nice.
Yeah.
And what's it like fighting in Texas? Because it's a different state in which how many rounds is this? A 6 or 8 rounds?
This is a 6 rounder.
Okay. And you're able to get your scores after certain rounds and stuff like that. At least your corners are a little bit aware of that. What's it like to fight in Texas? Obviously a huge boxing community.
Yeah, it's a huge boxing community. You know, the fans are like, they're really tough. You know, they want to see a fight. So that's always good. It kind of pushes you a little bit extra. But, I mean, beyond that, I mean, it's just like fighting anywhere else. I mean,
except it's hot and smelly.
Well, you know, you're inside, so it's not that bad.
It's still hot,
yeah,
dude.
It's not that bad.
Hot.
Well, regardless.
And smelly. I don't care. I'll say it.
Same part of Texas you fought in last time? Or,
yeah,
I mean,
it's actually, yeah, it's near Dallas. It's in Frisco at the Dr. Pepper Arena. And it's like, I think, 45 minutes outside of Dallas.
Okay. Any problem with elevation or something that you learned from your last fight that you're going to take?
No, everything honestly was fine. I think there's like an hour difference. The time changed only an hour. So it's not bad.
A serious question. Does it make a difference? Because like Texas is it's kind of a desert state.
Mm.
Like does like dry air like make a difference?
No,
or?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. It's really comfortable for me, honestly. So, and, you know, and I have friends down there. One of my good friends, Blake Graham, he lives down there. He's a chiropractor. So, you know, when I can go down there, if I need anything done, he can help me out.
Hmm.
You know, I have friends down there. Mm-hmm. I have Eric DeLeon, one of my chronic teammates from amateurs. He's actually fighting on that same card. You know, he's from Detroit, you know,
cool.
Undefeated. He's with Top Rank also. So.
Coming off an injury.
Off an injury. I think he's fought in like 8 months or something like that, or 11 months. It's been a while. So it'll be exciting to see him. And me and him haven't fought together in the same card since, you know, National Golden Gloves. So
Detroit's cool. Invading Texas?
Yes, we're invading
awesome.
Texas.
Hmm. Take it over.
And is it the last time you're wearing the Kronk trunks? You were talking about maybe venturing into some other...
No, so I'm definitely going to wear the Kronk trunks this time. And then next time, I'm gonna keep them. I mean, not the same exact trunks. I'm going to change it up a little bit, kind of make them my own. But there's still going to be Kronk trunks. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a surprise. So a little more flashy, I think.
Now, you flop.
Are you going to bedazzle them?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's
going to be awesome.
Now you fought out of state more than most fighters do when they're in their first 10 fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing the Kronk colors out of state, what's the reaction? Are people like a little bit more approachable to you because like they know the name?
Yeah. So like everyone, you know, a lot of people approach you either because they just see the name, like, hey, let's get a photo, because obviously, you know, you have to be somebody if you're at the Kronk gym. So. So you'll get a lot of that, or you'll get people like, oh, do you actually know Emmanuel Stewart? Did you know him? And, you know, how close were you to him? And so you get a lot of people just coming up to you and telling you about, like, old war stories from them going to the gym. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. A lot of people give you a lot more respect than, you know, you would think. So
Very cool.
Yeah. Very.
Yeah, I think that you're setting a model of how a fighter should do it and going forward. Not everyone's going to get a great opportunity like Top Rank and stuff like that, but you're fighting fighters now that typically people don't fight yet still at that stage. They're fighting people with losing records
after
still.
After the 10-0 mark, then they start getting the guys with more ring experience and stuff like that. But honestly, I think it's really important to get that experience now. So if you have a tougher fight, you know, later on, you know, you experience certain things, you know, whether it be getting cut, getting dropped, or, you know, what have you. If you experience in your, you know, in your early fights and you still come out, you know, looking good and winning, you know, later on you already know how to react and so on and so forth. Some fighters go through the whole career, you know, first half of their career really easily, and then they run into an issue later. So,
right. So since you've been signed with Top Rank, has anything happened? Any crazy offers through email or something like that? Because Top Rank's known, and then your manager, Cameron Duncan, known.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people, like, they contact you and like, hey, I want you to represent this brand, and you know, you kind of follow up and see what they're talking about. Some people are serious, some people aren't. So, I mean, yes and no, I guess. You know what I mean? You get a lot of, right now it's a lot of clothing companies like, oh, hey, we want you to like wear our stuff and like we'll take photos, and which is great and all that, but like, you know, I've had a lot of that, and so I'm trying to move forward into the branding a little bit instead of just, you know, wearing people's clothes, which is great, you know, getting free clothes, but, you know.
Well, Jimmy and I are actually starting a line of fat guy pants, and we were wondering if you would wear our fat guy pants.
Yeah, like my off season, I could probably.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to really cinch them on you, but I think if you would do that, that would be awesome. They say fat boy on each cheek on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm down. Yeah, you're good.
Sweet, awesome. We got our first one, Jimmy.
Now, Anthony's well schooled in boxing, so it's fun to bounce ideas off him and see. First off, so I had some questions that deal with the boxing world and stuff like that. But let's start off. First off, Bob Arum throws Manny Pacquiao under the bus, says he's no longer serious with his shoulder injury. He was supposed to have an appointment with a doctor in L.A. How bad would you feel of a fighter if Bob Arum, who made a boatload of money off Manny Pacquiao, is now dictating, because he makes a doctor's appointment, hits Twitter and does that to him?
Bob said he was an active fighter, as he's concerned right now. So, I mean, I'd feel horrible, you know what I mean? Like, that's my promoter. So, you know, I want to do everything I possibly can to, you know, get on his good side and, you know, show out to be, you know, the best fighter I can be. And he did get Manny Pacquiao extremely paid. So if I was Manny, I'd probably do everything I can to get on his good side again. But, I mean, I guess he's right, though. I mean, if you just got paid hundreds of millions of dollars to get in the ring, like, and that is your job. That is what you get paid to do. I mean, I would probably go see a doctor.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I guess you can't really go against anything Bob says. You're doing it forever. So, I mean, he's had all the greats. So he knows what he's talking about. And
he's met everyone, knows
everybody. He's the best at it. So.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about Berto. A terrible opponent if you look at his last four or five fights, and if this is what Floyd Mayweather is going to announce in the coming days, which everyone's saying it is, this is the equivalent of that jog mile you take after running a five-mile race. Like Floyd Mayweather is taking a huge step down in level of competition. This will be an easy fight for him. Guerrero walked through Berto, and Money Mayweather was able to take care of Guerrero. So, like, that's how you typically sometimes compare in boxing. Probably an easy fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was kind of the plan. They're going to get Mayweather a huge money fight. He gets extremely paid off that last one, the Manny Pacquiao thing that everybody wanted to see. And I think that's like the thing they're trying to do with PBC or, you know, whatever they're going to air it on. It's going to be, you know, free TV. So maybe they're trying to make the biggest fight possible for the money, because I don't think they could do, you know, let's say like something else like a Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather on TV for free. You know what I mean? You have to pay your fighters so much, but you don't have to pay Berto that much. He, you know, he lost, you know, what, his last three fights, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Last three out of four or five.
You know, he's coming off of losses, and so in my mind, if you're a fighter that's losing and you're at the top level, you're not getting top dollar. So obviously they can put a Mayweather on there and give him as much money as he deserves for fighting somebody like that. And, you know, you don't have to give him the hundreds of millions. You can just give him a few million, you know.
Right.
So.
Tyson Fury in the Klitschko press conference was this morning. I was actually up at 7 this morning and actually streaming it when it came on this morning. Very entertaining stuff. Tyson Fury, does he have any chance of beating Klitschko, though?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, look how big he is, you know, and he's really confident, and people don't give him enough credit. You know, I think he's actually a really good boxer, you know, for the most part. He moves really well for a big guy, and, you know, I actually, he trained down at the Kronk Gym for a while with Emmanuel Stewart, you know, with Klitschko's old trainer. So, you know, he learned some stuff from him, and, I mean, Klitschko does have a questionable chin from the past. Everyone knows that. You know, Tyson Fury has been dropped, so, you know, can make for an interesting fight. But, like, I was shadow boxing with Tyson Fury in the ring, and he was in the middle of just pivoting around, and I was trying to, like, move around him.
Can't
he can
move
pivot, him. And, like, his foot is in each corner every time he moves. It's ridiculous. He, that man is huge.
Well, his argument this morning was that Klitschko is not going to be able to jab and hold him.
Yes.
Which he did versus Povetkin. Mm-hmm. And Povetkin, as good of a fighter as he is, because he's moving up the ranks again, and everyone wanted Povetkin to fight Klitschko, clearly the size wore down Povetkin, in which he just leaned on him, got the hold calls, got the breaks whenever Povetkin went in. Do you think there's any chance Klitschko is able to hold Fury? Because they're about the same size.
Well, I mean, I think Klitschko's smart enough to get the job done. I still think he's probably going to win. I don't know if he's going to be able to hold like that, you know, just because Tyson is bigger than him, period. You know, he's bigger, you know, I don't know about stronger. I guess you really got to see. But size-wise, he should be stronger. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like that. I think it's more of an entertaining fight. If someone's going to go down, there's no question about it.
Okay. Now, you're always in gym's training. In the thing is, since I've been involved in boxing and MMA, the heavyweight division's been – it's absent. It's a European division mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
Is anyone talking about the Tyson Fury Klitschko fight?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? Okay, well,
I mean,
that's
a
good.
A little
then.
Bit. You know what I mean? Like, not as much as, you know, you get Palomon Anji and, you know, Danny Garcia and stuff like that. That's coming up. So people are really excited about that and all the PBC stuff. And so people are talking about that, you know, not as much about the heavyweights, because they're just going to watch it when it comes on, and that's it, you know. So. But I'm excited about it, honestly, you know what I mean? Because I've met both of them, and Tyson Fury is actually like Andy Lee's cousin or something like that. So, you know, I know him. He's like a really funny guy. He's pretty cool. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I'm more interested than most, so.
Yeah. It was funny today. I don't know if Klitschko was, he was keeping his professional composure
yeah.
and everything like that, but, you know, I almost don't even want to say this on the air, but probably the best line I've ever heard at a press conference was said today when he said he took Klitschko and shortened it to Klit and said he was gonna
yeah
lick
yeah
yeah you know what and
stay classy MMA
it's boxing
that's boxing
that was boxing
sorry
yeah.
sorry
yeah. the sweet science
yeah
what a one liner I mean like
yeah,
you know
witty you know
he was definitely you know Klitschko's smart. He's got a guy that will sell the fight. It's going to be in a big arena. They're expecting anywhere from 50,000 to maybe 100,000. And the problem with Klitschko is even when HBO offers it, people don't tend to turn in. I think Tyson Fury is a great matchup in that you might get some viewership over here in the States. And
he talks a lot. You know, people like the whole Mayweather, I talk a lot of shit. So
right.
Yeah, people are definitely going to tune in to see what he's about.
Right. And you know what? I like Tyson Fury. I do. But then I'm in danger of being a hypocrite because I don't like Conor McGregor. And they're almost the same freaking guys running in parallel universes. I think Conor's a little bit too much over the top, and I think that's where I draw the line. But I am a huge Tyson Fury fan.
Conor McGregor's a little guy. Like, if Tyson Fury walked in this room, whatever he said, you'd be like, okay, sure. Yeah, I believe you. Like,
yes, sir.
You know, he's a big guy. If, you know, if Conor McGregor walked in, you'd be like, yeah, okay, go sit down. Like,
right.
You know. So I mean,
go sit in the corner.
Just visually, you know,
yeah.
I think he's more exciting to look at just because he's so
right.
friggin' big.
He's the mountain.
Yeah, so let me ask you this really quickly. And I know you don't cover MMA too much or watch MMA too much, but Dana White says that Conor McGregor is huge in Ireland. Some people disputed that maybe he's not as big as Dana White was saying. Do you think right now, and I know you don't know much about MMA, who's bigger, Conor McGregor or Tyson Fury in Ireland? Because they love their Tyson Fury.
They do. They really do. I don't really know, you know, because I'm not over there. So
just throw a guess.
No, right or wrong. We won't.
I would say Conor McGregor, just because Dana White is putting all that, you know, publicity on him right now. You know, a lot of talk about him. But at the same time, his fight is done and over with, so he's going to fade out a little bit. And the Klitschko fight is coming into play. So, you know, Klitschko is like the man over in Europe in general. And Tyson Fury is right there, too. So I think that might be even bigger. So I think Tyson Fury might take over. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, if no one hears you, then, you know, they don't think about you. You're just kind of like out of sight, out of mind type thing. So I don't know.
All right. I think I asked you this in Raw Radio X because I think you now have passed Cody for the most times you've been on the show, Cody Stamann.
Yeah.
But rank me your top five right now. Where's Kovalev fight fall? Where's Golovkin fall? Where's Adonis? Who is your top five? Because it's amazing. My top five has changed so much since the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Like, you mean just like fights coming up?
Or, no, I'm talking who's fighters? Your top five pound for pound all right now?
Man. Okay. Definitely Adonis, because I just see like the raw power in the gym.
So you're putting Adonis number one?
This is just my top five. I'm not putting it in order.
Okay.
Kovalev, Adonis, Triple G. Oh my gosh.
Canelo.
Yeah. I want to say Canelo, but
you
I mean.
You want to say Canelo because you need to.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I mean, yeah, okay. So Canelo's up there, and. I don't know. It's kind of five is like too short. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd just say Miguel Cotto. He's one of my favorites, like all time favorites. So.
Okay. So then I got to follow up with this last question here really quick. Canelo versus Cotto. You think Cotto has a shot against Canelo?
Don't let Rochelle influence your decision.
No, actually, I don't know. I think it's actually going to be a really good fight. Like,
really?
I really do because. Cotto has like a lot of experience, and I guess you know Canelo does too. But it's a different kind of experience. I think Canelo had easier fights, you know, coming up to the Mayweather fight, and he obviously fought like a technician, you know. And I don't know. I just feel like, man, Cotto is a strong dude. Like I've boxed him, and he is just physically strong. He has a good left hook. He has great body shots.
When's the last time we've seen Cotto knock out somebody like Canelo knocked out? And it was April or May.
Yeah, but who did Canelo knock out? I forgot.
It's Kirkland.
Kirkland, yeah. So Kirkland's like...
How can I miss it? It's in my kitchen.
Knockout of the year.
Yeah, knockout of the year. Yeah. He fainted the body and hit him with a right hand.
I have a Takati thing that takes up my whole kitchen.
No,
that says
Corona.
Oh, Corona.
Yeah.
It says Canelo and
it's
Kirkland.
Like
and it's
tall.
Taken over my... I love it. Not going anywhere. But
Kirkland's a done fighter, though.
Okay.
That's what I think. He's been beat by like way lesser competition. He's just not how he used to be. He's not with Ann Wolf anymore either, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right. She didn't train him last fight.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's getting knocked out too many times, and he's just not the same.
Rochelle is very upset with you, by the way, at your comment about...
He's
had easy fights. She was looking at you like you had suggested eating a baby.
Listen, I like
she was just like, you like dirty son of a...
I like Canelo because like, I feel like I box similar to Canelo in style, but I think I like Cotto better in that fight.
Well, Rochelle disagrees with you wholeheartedly.
I'll make bets on that one.
Whoa!
Wow. Oh, my God. She loves Canelo. There's a Canelo action figure that we Google for to find her all the time, and we can't find it.
Have to have it.
But she has to have the
like
Canelo action figure.
My sister loves Canelo. She has a Canelo Alvarez t-shirt. She has, like, shoes to match the t-shirt.
Wait,
she has
really?
Yeah, my sister.
See,
is that like the carpets match the drapes? Is that what? Why?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about all that. We're just not going to go into that. It's kind of weird. So.
Canelo, I think, is on the rise, obviously. He's fought so much for being so young. I think it's Canelo's time. I really do. I think he's going to be a bigger star than Golovkin. I think he might pass Kovalev obviously is a huge star in Mexico already.
Well, he has plenty more years to go, too.
Right. He is
so
young.
He's definitely
so young. And I think of the people that he's going to have the ability to fight over the next few years. And that's exciting stuff. I bet you Mayweather wouldn't touch Canelo now. I really don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I think Canelo in the future will have more than enough experience to go back and, you know, beat Mayweather. That's what I think.
Right.
I don't like Mayweather, so I'm not a big Mayweather fan.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah.
All right, so this subject, no seriousness whatsoever, but as a boxing fan, how offended were you that the Southpaw movie trailer has a guy standing orthodox?
Right. Yeah, I seen
that. Were you
that.
Just like, blah?
I was just like, really? Like, you know, you could put all that time and effort into, like, you know, I seen the like, trailers, and they're like, he was training in the boxing gym, doing all boxing workouts twice a day, and like, oh, it's great. And then you see that, and you're like, okay.
Well, it's a metaphor.
Someone should get fired.
You know? Have you seen the movie?
It's a metaphor.
No, I have not.
I have not seen the movie.
Either. I saw.
I have
the,
actually no interest.
I actually saw the behind the scenes thing, and yeah, the director and Jake Gyllenhaal were training
together
every
yeah.
day in the, and yeah. they were motivating each other. You know, 5 a.m. Let's get up. Let's go run a bunch of miles. Let's go to the gym.
So I mean, it's great that he did that.
Like. Yeah.
Well, come on now. I mean, Rocky was a southpaw, and he fought orthodox, and was at 3, and then switched it up.
No. Two? That was in Apollo. Yeah, in Rocky II.
Yeah. So see, so it, maybe
so
that's
he
what
can
it
do
is.
What he wants.
Yeah, maybe well, that's what it is. Maybe you
you're bringing
don't know.
Fictional fighters in.
I'm just saying you haven't seen the movie. You don't know.
That easily confused my mother. You can't bring in fictional fighters, and when we're talking real, she'll be just
where
like,
do you work?
Where's that Apollo Creed fighting next time?
Oh, so speaking of which, have you seen the trailer for
Creed? I want to see.
Yeah, that actually looks that. Really good.
I don't know why I don't want to see Southpaw. I think when you make as
you
big
don't
of
like
a mistake,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't.
Well,
no, I don't.
Well, now we know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a simple one.
I mean, that's,
I really don't want to see it either, though, because if it's really bad, I'm just going to be like, you know, now people, the public has like a vision of boxers in their mind, and it's that.
So. Right, exactly. And there's so many stories about boxing. It sounds like it's more about what happens to his wife. I'm not spoiling anything. It's in the preview. He gets shot, and he loses custody of his kid. Why do I want to go in a movie and feel bad at the end of it? Like, I mean, right. It just doesn't seem good.
Yeah, but come on, man. Like, so, like, every movie's like that. Like, I made the mistake. So I'm, like, sitting there, I'm like, Guardians of the Galaxy, biggest movie ever.
Yeah.
Like, I sit down with my 5-year-old son. I'm going to watch it. Would have been nice if somebody would have told me that the opening of the movie is the kid's mom dying of cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know why she died of cancer?
To set up the rest of the movie?
Well, no, because of his dad. He gave her the cancer because of who he is.
Oh, I thought it was because I thought it was because she used to have a radio show at on the Hamtramck radio station.
Oh my god.
Maybe she knew. Who were the undercard guys that talked about? We did that segment with.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The past.
Oh, those guys. Yeah. The old undercard.
Yeah, the old
guys.
Undercard
yeah,
guys. Yeah,
I
can't remember their names. Yeah.
You know another movie?
Skippy Arnaud is one of
you
them.
You know another movie you can't let your kids watch, David? We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon, which you think would be kid friendly.
Oh yeah.
They revealed the Easter Bunny secret halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
For no reason. And you're just like, you're mad. You're
Wasn't
cursing.
Even a major plot point. Just
no.
throw it out there.
She goes,
that's awesome.
You're right.
Which is the one with the Santa Claus one?
Which one's Santa Claus one? They reveal Santa's? Not real?
The one with Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. Four Christmases.
Oh, Four Christmases reveals about Santa, too.
That's right.
But your kids shouldn't
be watching
supposed
to take your kids
Christmas.
To a movie with
but
Vince
But see,
Vaughn
what you do with that is when you when
no,
you
it's
show
not bad.
When you show them that movie, then you just immediately show them Santa Claus with Tim Allen and say, this is the real story.
Yeah, that's it.
My son just found out, not to get too off subject here, about Santa not being real. And I was I was crushed more than him. He's
what do you
at
mean
nine.
Santa's not real?
He's 9 going into 10.
Okay.
Who crushed me all my presents at Christmas then?
Crushed me, man. Just absolutely was horrible.
What? That's ridiculous. She doesn't like me that much.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like the worst day. We were at the Tigers-Cubs game down at Comerica Park, and he's like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, he was that upset, but then I was even more upset. I was like, I don't want to
talk about it. How did he find out?
I can't
friend,
get on the
probably.
Air of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so a friend, like, told him, and...
kind of close, but it's crushing. And now I'm trying to sell like the whole, well, Santa Claus. Yeah, you
like
know,
doesn't that make it a little easier on you though? Because like I'm not gonna lie, like when the kid like so like the Wii U was the big gift this year, mm-hmm. and like I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bitter that you know the mythological fat bastard in the red suit got all the credit. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
daughter tells me, she's like, Mom, I want the American Girl Bakery Cafe, which is $500. She goes, but I'm going to ask Santa for it because he can do anything.
Yeah, his elves will do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feel wow.
No, the worst thing, and the worst thing and what I don't like about the myth of Santa is, you know, like we're talking
that
about
that. It's predicated on breaking and entering?
Well, no.
Yeah, there's that.
Not only that. How creepy is that?
Not only that.
It is the creepiest thing ever.
Not only that, but like, Rochelle's daughter, you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to ask Santa because he can do anything. How do you explain to a kid who lives in a low-income family why they only got, you know, a knockoff brand Barbie doll when
I'll tell you how.
Little Susie down the street got... You know, 50 high price.
I will tell you how, because I'll tell you what my mom told me. Mom has to pay Santa for those presents.
Oh.
Yeah. He bills net 30.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Whatever's left under the tree 30
days later.
That's
actually a really good explanation.
Boy. Yeah, yeah, because I asked about it. I was like, I was real good.
Santa.
Yeah.
No. Exactly.
I don't see
Santa
you ever
didn't deliver this year.
I was
We're
good.
In
I was real good. I got a Nintendo Power System that year. Okay. So, but so yeah, Santa got all the credit.
Yeah.
Right. So and you're right. It's that whole holiday really is creepy because Santa breaks into your home and like waits for you to go to sleep and then comes and leaves you presents.
Yeah, he sees you in your sleep.
Exactly. Creepy
he
as
knows
hell.
When
right?
you're awake. Yeah.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, clearly a cocaine
alcoholic.
Yeah. Or gin, cocaine addict.
Or gin drunk. Yeah.
He is a cocaine addict, and where is he getting his stuff? Frosty the Snowman. Absolutely. See? Ridiculous drug addicting holiday.
I don't remember the claymation version of this, but I think we ought to redo it.
So I'm on board. I'm on board.
So who's calling Frankenmuth for sponsorship tomorrow? when can we expect Frankenmuth?
Yeah, we're going to call up Ronners and
Christmas 365.
The Ronners is a Marvin Anderson or not.
We have an idea for a new action figure. It's a Frosty the Snowman that dispenses kilos of Coke out of his hat.
Where's a trench coat? Hangs out in the corner. Hey, buddy.
Hey, kid. We were this close to landing Zinder's chicken. This close.
You want
to
make it snow today?
Want to make it snow
every
today.
Day is a snow day with Frosty.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, kids, you want a snow day? Come pull on Frosty's carrot now.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Is this my fault? Like, is
no, no, no. It's all good. It's all good.
You can't give him an opening, though, because this
I've heard
is
that
what
about
happens.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, you've not worked the board for us before. Like, normally they're like over my mic, just ready to. No, okay.
All right, well, we're going to take our last musical break here, and then we're going to be back. We're going to talk to Ring Girl Liz here a little bit, once again plug TFC, and then finish up here with Anthony Barnes. We want to thank everyone for joining us, episode 149. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard, episode 149.
Woohoo!
July 21st.
Yes.
We're going back
July.
A month.
It's already July
David,
21st.
David, really quickly, you did the commentary for XICW last weekend.
Yeah, so it was Saturday. It was quite the weekend. So we had our networking event Thursday night at Blackfin, drunk. then we went to a security conference where we talked with hackers for a couple hours and recorded live and then went and got drunk. And then Saturday we were at XICW Pro Wrestling where we got drunk.
Yes!
And recorded live commentary for the DVD. It was pretty phenomenal.
After getting drunk, nice. Right?
Yes.
My man.
Well,
can't wait to hear how that last match came out, not going to lie.
Bob asked us to do it once and never asked us to do it again, so I know we did terrible.
Well, no, because we didn't do that right. So we've got different video guys now that actually know what they're doing and have the whole, like, they've got their A game going.
Then maybe
so,
you want commentary guys who know what they're doing.
Other than us,
No, we didn't know.
Bob and I were like, it was hilarious. But it was fun. It was a good time. I think I actually stunned Bob because I actually knew the names of the moves. And,
oh, really?
And I was, you know, I like to play dumb because, well, that's fun. And so, like, you know, like by the end of the second match, he was just kind of looking at me like, where in the hell are you pulling this out?
Right.
But, yeah, good time. So, yeah, we had what was one of the best in Detroit matches. We had Colt Cabana. So we got to talk to him about his podcast. We had Robbie E and DJ Z from, you know, Impact. And then Sunday, we're back at the Ritz for one of those shows.
Nice.
The Ritz shows, for people that don't know, first off, we're huge XICWDetroit.com fans. But XICW, the wrestling, right, exactly, the wrestling promotion, we're huge fans of them. But the Ritz shows are totally different than...
There are the adult shows.
Yeah, those are the adult shows compared to the Imperial House shows.
Yes, which are a little bit more family-friendly.
Well, and it's not... And that sounds awkward. It's not even so much that they're adult shows. I mean, it's not like there's, like, you know, girls getting topless in the ring.
No,
I'd be way more about it if
yeah,
they were.
Well, yeah, well, but how do we make this happen?
It's the Ritz. And let's right. be candid. The Ritz is, like... the standard by which all other dive bars on the planet are judged.
Yes.
and so, you know, you just, I mean, there's, you know, leak, they got blue tarps up in the roof catching water instead of fixing the roof. They got, you know, the guys can't even go off the second rope, let alone the top rope, without giving themselves a concussion. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's definitely, the Imperial shows are far more, you know, the more, you know, family friendly. Mm-hmm. The guys can actually do what they do. The Ritz shows are, they've been running there for 11 years and they're just not stopping yet. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you guys keep growing every time I've been to an event. And there's more people every time.
Ah, so much fun.
There's a line out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's absolutely great, dude. You know, XICW is where it's at.
It's fun. I mean, it's a good time. You know, it's the, like, you know, the backstory, you know, like I stopped watching wrestling when I was 10, like most people did. Bob, my business partner, never did. And so, you know, he called me up about 3 years ago and said, hey, I need you to meet me at the Ritz and Warren on a random Sunday. And I'm like, dude, that's the crappiest dive bar on the planet. Why? And he said, well, I'm about to invest in a wrestling circuit. I need you to stop me. All right, I'll be there in 20. So I stopped him from investing in it, but that didn't stop us from, over the course of the past 3 years, basically taking over the front of the house, getting them up on the web, helping them with marketing and promotions and all that stuff, and getting these bigger events running. So, you know, the Ritz shows still are what they are. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's my once a month, turn off my brain, sit there, have some cheap drinks because it's a dive bar, and just have a great time with the guys.
Right. Yeah. Right. Does Bob still hit people or, like, punch people and give them black eyes if they say wrestling's fake?
Every now and then he does. And it's like, you know, the one thing here's what I've learned, because my obsessiveness kicks in. When we dove into this, I had to dive in and learn everything about it. So wrestling, it might be scripted, but it's not fake.
Oh, God. Right.
Like, because I've seen these guys, saw one guy break his femur. I can't tell you how many concussions and all that other nonsense. I mean, these guys are tight for what they do, but yeah, they still walk into the ring knowing who's supposed to win, barring something goes wrong. Yeah.
Well, our first experience with XICW, when you guys invited us out to set up a table and stuff, was DBA versus Sabu in the studio.
Yeah.
And that was when...
It doesn't get much more interesting than that.
That's when DBA had to twice light his elbow on fire. Yep. Because not the once. First time it went out.
Yeah.
And, whereas Saturday it was so hot, it just spontaneously burst out of fire.
But thus proving it's not going always as well, because I did run into DBA after sitting.
And his elbow was about the size of a grapefruit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He paid the price, you know? And that fight with him and Sabu was just insane.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Yeah. It was just like, Sabu, first off, is just, you know, an insane wrestler anyways. And then DBA gives
you
everything.
He's just insane. You can stop. Right. I mean, like, I've talked to the guy a number of times.
Suicidal.
The homicidal, suicidal, he's... The dude's nuts.
Right. So let me tell you where I am with wrestlers at 37. One, if I see a box that's too heavy, I look and say, well, that's going to hurt my back for 2 days. I won't do it.
Right.
But wrestlers do it and know that they will be in pain for a week for the love of it.
Well, and it's not like they're making table. These guys aren't, you know, it's not, you know, the WWE where they've got, you know, $60,000 a match contracts. I mean, these guys, some of them do it for the gas money, you know, just because they really, truly love and enjoy what they do. I mean, one of the guys, God love him, I'll never forget, there was a match at the Ritz or a show at the Ritz on the Sunday before his wedding, and he went out and wrestled and blew out his knee. Tore his ACL the Sunday before his wedding. I thought his wife, who was there, was going to absolutely kill him once she figured out that he wasn't rolling around on the mat like
pretending.
Fake.
She had to know, though, right? I mean, she knows what he does.
Absolutely. He didn't so much walk down the aisle as he kind of strolled down the aisle on one of those, like, knee scooters that you rest your knee on. And,
she wasn't probably mad. She was probably like, in-laws, never.
Oh, no.
Like, she probably is
no,
like,
oh, no,
I
she was
get
pretty
so
mad.
Many.
Oh, no. No.
Maybe she was disappointed because originally they were both supposed to come into like theme music.
Right.
And yeah. fireworks. And yeah, kinda, he was gonna come that. Down and suplex her. And, I do. Boom.
Well, when Anthony's huge in boxing, we're going to get him to do some wrestling promos. Get like him maybe over to WWE.
Yeah.
Even Floyd Mayweather like had a WWE.
Going back to Rocky, you could do a Rocky and Thunder Lips kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, an exhibition. You and I should wrestle, seriously.
Okay, wait, hold on.
I don't think he sold on it.
You're a millionaire from boxing, but then Vince McMahon from WWE comes over and offers you more millions to come in WrestleMania and embarrass yourself for a Sunday. Do you do it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Really? Think about how many more Camaros you'll own.
Yeah, but I already have millions of dollars.
You can always use a million more. You go buy yourself another Ferrari or something.
While I'm here in the studio, I'll just go ahead and I'll say I'll maintain my artistic integrity. And then as soon as the check shows up, where are we at?
Exactly.
Exactly. Right, you know, we'll talk about it in time.
It's real, I was going to say, it's real hard to say no to a big bag of money.
Well, Rochelle can verify this story. So I've had the opportunity to interview Floyd Mayweather. I've had the opportunity to be around him a few times. And my son only knows Floyd Mayweather through WWE. And when he went into the ring that day, he was throwing real money into the crowd. Mm-hmm. So every time I talk about Floyd Mayweather, he's like, yeah, you got to hang around him again because he just throws money in the crowd. He goes, it's a good situation. I was like, no, he wasn't doing that when I met him.
Right.
But he thinks that's all he does. It's just like in the air.
I mean, that is kind of his
thing. I've seen his Facebook post. That's pretty much what he does.
Yeah. Because occasionally he lights a cigar with a $100 bill.
Right.
Shower strippers
Liz.
With it.
Could you be a female champion? Could you be a female champion wrestler?
Maybe if I tried. Like,
there aren't a whole lot of women doing it right now.
Right. Yeah. So you could be huge in it. Think about it.
Yeah. Should do it.
Who's the women's champion right now for XICW?
Taylor Hendricks, yeah.
Okay. Taylor's a little bigger than you. Might have to hit the gym a little bit more.
Yeah, I definitely would have to do that.
Are you mean enough, though? She says she likes to fight with her boys. Are you mean enough to be a wrestler? Say something mean to Marv right now. The meanest thing you can say.
I can't be mean. I can't be mean.
Really?
You should, like, really, like, tick me off.
Say the meanest thing you can say to Marv.
Yeah.
Those pants make your butt look fat.
That's fine. I don't know. I don't really get, like, I don't know.
Did you do your hair like that on purpose? Nothing's working, man. No, she's just so working. Chill.
You can't say anything mean to him?
No. You have, like, really
you have lovely light hair. Why do you dye the roots dark?
Ooh. Ow. That one went way over her head. She's like, what? I don't. Huh?
All right, give us your game face. Act like you're mad at him.
Yeah.
Well, she could always play the other kind. She could be the sweet, innocent girl.
Oh, okay.
And she could
ass.
Be the face, not the heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Baby face versus heel. She could be the, the best thing for her to do would be to start off as one of the wrestler's managers until she got, like, more into it and then also, like, got more face time. And then she has a rivalry with one of the other divas, and then that's how the conflict would occur.
And the next thing you know,
you're... We can make that happen. I know we could make that happen. That's what I'm trying to set up here.
Next thing you know, you're wearing knee pads and a ring.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just
want to
be in charge of her outfit.
Yep.
I think she should actually interrupt a match as, like, a peacemonger and want people to just love each other and not fight. And then somebody could get blown.
And then you could storm the ring as Cartman. You damn hippies!
If we can get the rights, I'll do it. But then somebody could get blood on, like, her new Prada shoes, and she just loses her shit. Yes.
Yeah. No, I grew up like a tomboy, so that's not really when it. No.
No.
No. She is the.
We
girl.
Could make it happen.
Really,
look,
I don't
look.
Even like wearing heels, like. I wouldn't be.
No, remember? No, her first time she worked with us, she had to go buy heels before she came.
And I almost fell.
For crying out loud, I own heels.
Believe it.
We don't ask about your Saturdays.
Your crazy Saturdays.
It's Thursdays, actually, but whatever.
So Emily Teagle can't join us this week. We're going to reschedule her for probably next week, maybe the week after that. So anyone that was sticking around for Emily Teagle, we deeply apologize about that. But she's a good friend of the show. We'll have her on soon and stuff like that. So I was trying to think to fill the time when I write out the little set list, I call them here, and stuff like that. But I did want to include Ring Girl Liz because she's been doing great work for the undercard out there. She's actually she's got a lot of people that write to the undercard just wanting to talk to her and stuff like that. But tell everybody what you had pierced the other day.
Ooh. Yes.
Suddenly I'm attentive.
Yeah. That's... What did you have pierced?
Yeah, my back dimples pierced.
Now,
show everybody. Whoa, did you say your back dimples?
Yeah. Well, I don't really, like, have dimples. Like, I'm about to get them redone. Dimples. I'm about to get them redone because, like, he didn't really put them in, like, the right spot. Like, I liked him at first. But then, like, after he did it.
But you got to show the round.
Can you show? Yeah, can you show us? I want to, like, how does one... How do you pierce your
process? Okay.
Show them what it
really
are.
Right.
This one, like, so they're just caught the other day.
So all right. So they're these little like diamondy. They're studs in like above your butt cheeks.
They take like a hole puncher thing, and well, there's like two different ways you can do it. But I had the hole punch, and they like carve a hole into your skin, and then thanks. They carve a hole into your skin, and then they take, like, a flat bar and pretty much, like, slip it into the, like, the wound that they pretty much...
Oh, I can see why you'd want to have this done.
Yeah. A couple times.
Why? I'm done. So really, why? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of liked him at first, but now I'm just, like, I'm kind of over it. I'm done with piercings now.
Is it something for your man to like hook a leather strap on or something and like so you can't get away from him?
I've heard of quite a few different stuff for him.
Do you have other piercings?
What was your thought process leading up to I want to get back dimples?
Yeah,
pierced. I don't know. I was gonna get my hips done instead, but then I was like,
hips.
No.
Why would you get your hips?
I don't know.
Listen, I can understand piercings of like ears, lips, tongue, you know, genitalia, because it increases, you know, pleasure,
whatever.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know
what I'm saying, that's what people say.
Yeah. Why would you pierce your hips?
But why would you pierce your hips?
Like,
why would you pierce your back dimples?
Girls who like have it, and I thought it was cute. I liked it.
Okay.
Okay.
So that leads into a good segment. Let's go around the table here. We're also joined by David's good friend over there from the IT department, right?
Too? Matt.
No. You're from the IT.
It's Matt from IT.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm the marketing guy.
Well,
so,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's Matt. So what's
so
your favorite thing?
If you're hiring,
how many piercings do you have?
You know, I'm going to go with zero.
Okay.
That wasn't my question where I was going. I was just going to see around the table, and Anthony's going to answer, Matt's going to answer. Like, what's your favorite thing a girl can do? Is it a piercing? Is it a tattoo? Is it, you know, there's
tattoos,
so many things.
Just remember,
sundress.
You can't get rid of.
Hands down, sundress.
Sundress? Okay. That's no piercings, though.
Right? Okay.
I don't even own a dress.
Sundress is awesome, though.
Make me a sandwich. That's what she can do.
We know that, Mark.
And go to Subway. There's girls making sandwiches all the time.
No, I want my
Anthony
woman to
tattoo,
make me a
piercings.
Make me a sandwich
what?
And shut the hell up. That's
it depends
what she
on
can
the girl.
Do.
Oh, does it really?
Depends on the girl. Sometimes.
Depends on the tattoo, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, see, tattoos for me, I'm like, well, you know, it's right. still too much,
like
or,
tattoos.
You know, I don't know.
David.
I don't have any tattoos. I have, like, my ears pierced, and that's it, like, personally. And I'm not a huge fan of tattoos, but sometimes they look great. Some girls can
I
like
love a girl with nice tats.
Really?
Wait, what are we talking about?
We're talking pierced
tats. Oh, tats. Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, yeah, like, oh, my God. Of,
I mean, you'll
it's
see,
all
like,
right, Rochelle. We like your tats. Love your tats, actually.
Okay. I mean, you'll see the girl with the, you know, the occasional girl with, like, a full sleeve. And, like, they're just, like, they look really good. Like, they look
right.
extremely pretty. And just, it works.
Talking about, like, the suicide girl look.
Whatever that is.
But would you think far ahead and go, but I couldn't marry a girl with a full sleeve because then I'm stuck with a girl with a full sleeve?
I mean, I don't know because...
If, there's like
if it works, it works. I mean, and I guess if you're going to marry somebody, it's not really how they look, right? It's kind of like, can you get along with them forever? You know. So I mean,
this is coming from the best-looking guy in the room. He's being
easily.
Humble over there, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on everybody. Like,
because who among us hasn't looked across a crowded, smoke-filled bar and go, "Wow, would you look at the personality on that girl?"
Yeah. I mean, obviously. That's, He's talking about getting married, though.
Yeah. So, hey, Anthony told me he'd marry me because I can bake.
Yeah, that's, okay. That's a
big good. That's she, not a bad criteria. Yeah.
She can make lasagna.
After you made your lasagna, the last time I was ready to marry, like I was ready to get divorced, and then marry you.
Sorry, Tracy.
He's about to get divorced when he goes home.
Yeah, she's actually.
So when he goes home, he'll be as useless as the G in lasagna.
Yeah. So you're gonna choose tattoos.
I will be moving in here after I get home.
I don't know. I don't, like I said, it depends. It just depends.
He's open-minded.
I'm open-minded.
What about David? Piercings or tattoos?
Do I have any? No.
No. A girl, preference.
Couldn't care either way. Okay. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, my geek life. Right tool, right job.
Okay.
You know, there are girls that pull off tattoos that look incredibly hot. There are girls that get tats that you're like, what in the ever-living hell were you thinking when you let someone do that to you? You know, it depends on the situation.
I couldn't agree more. That's the best answer.
I don't like facial piercings.
Okay, so like the Monroe.
That is the most trashiest piercing.
The Monroe piercing?
Any right here, any of those.
Like Rochelle's in her nose? Just
I'm not a big fan of like
the nose is cool. The nose is fine.
No, I like the double one. A lot of girls are getting like the double. That's cool.
That freaking bull ring thing, whatever that is, that's horrible.
Dennis Rodman? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, what's the – like I saw someone walking around Ferndale the other day that's got like the two like little things on either cheek bar running through their mouth.
It's like a horse bit.
Like, right. Like what – why is that – who decides that's a good idea? I just wanted to express myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to express myself.
Yeah.
No, you're an idiot.
The only thing I can think is it's like a turnstile bar like for fellatio.
Next.
Like for fellatio. Like
no, one up. One down.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to pay the toll and the bar goes up. You're in, and when it's finished, bar goes down, next in line.
Time's up.
Yep.
What about
that's
you?
What that is.
What about you really quickly, Marvin? Jim,
so piercings are I'm going to have to agree with everybody in the room. It depends. It depends on what the piercing is or what the tattoo is. Like if she has Eat It Like It's Birthday Cake on her inner thigh, like that's a certain kind of girl, you know, but if she has like if she has a stick figure mowing the lawn right above her Dorito, like I'm cool with that, you know.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
That is great, you know. Like just like he's mowing the lawn. I think that's wonderful. Or if a girl has a really nice set of tats, and she has a tat of like a mountain climber on her boob, like cleverness, like things like that.
You know, something that shows a little forthright.
That hill's gonna fall.
I would
exactly.
That's a skier.
Well, yeah, and that's why. But then, right? But right, exactly. So when it
that
falls,
just increases the challenge for the climber.
That's when he falls, you have a rope like tattooed like up to the top.
The degree of difficulty increases.
He's rappelling. That's all.
See, I thought she would have been a Price is Right.
Big cliffhanger.
Like, no, here's one. Okay, so I know a girl whose mother passed away, and she got a tattoo on her breast of like her mother's name with her birth and death dates.
What did she?
Well, that's
from?
A mood killer.
What's that?
It is.
She died from breast cancer.
No, esophageal cancer. Talk about a buzzkill. Like, hey, baby, I'm. Oh.
The whole tattoo.
Why is there a chick's name on your?
Exactly. Like who's that? And why? Like what? And then like oh, that's, and like no,
oh.
No. One that I did see that I thought was pretty good was a girl had a tramp stamp that said established in 1981.
Nice.
So you can look at that and go legal. Nice. Like when you're in, it's like Your Honor, Exhibit A.
Well, but you know, clearly the much like you know, pointed. If it's on the internet, it must be true. If it's on a tattoo, it must be true.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Jimmy, how about you? Piercings or tattoos on a girl?
I'm gonna be honest. It doesn't really matter as long as she will go out on a date with me and she's not crazy.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy's like, is she breathing?
So are those terms mutually inclusive or not crazy and will go out on a date? Like, does that happen?
Yeah, no.
Like, can she be crazy but won't go on a date with you and you just roofie her?
Lately, it seems like...
Because, you know, Bill Cosby has a solution for that.
The ones that will go on a date...
You just dip a little pudding in the pills and the popcorn and the pills and the jello and the pudding...
Marv, we are retiring Bill Cosby.
We are not retiring Bill Cosby.
But no, actually, to answer your question, Dave, recently It seems like if they will go on a date with me, then they are crazy. So well, I don't know if it's
like now
I don't know if it's the only reason they go out on the dates is because they are crazy.
They got to be a little crazy though, because then it's not fun.
Say what again?
They got to be a little bit crazy.
I'm not talking about zany. I'm not talking about wacky. I'm talking about
like burn your house down crazy.
I'm talking about you go on the first date. You're talking for 15 minutes with them. They say, you know what? Time's a ticking. I want you to go home with me right now and put a baby inside me. These are the kind of dates that I have been getting recently.
Garçon, check, please.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You go to your car, I'll follow you.
I don't care if they have piercings. I just want a sane girl who will also go on a date with me.
And not want you to immediately put a baby
maybe,
in
there. No, because that's crazy. That's, exactly. Gotcha.
Maybe if you would stop trying to pick up chicks at institutions, this wouldn't be a problem.
No, this is all internet dating because I don't.
Where's your problem?
Well, I don't know, Marv. My friends are not setting me up.
Oh. No, of course not.
Well, I have to reset this then really quickly.
Right first of all, I don't know many single women, all right? And the single women that I do know, I don't want you anywhere near them.
Why?
Ever.
Exactly.
Why? I'm a nice guy.
No.
Yes, I am.
No.
What do you mean no? You
I've read your blog.
Yeah.
I'm established the type of women you hang out
with. I don't have
with.
A blog.
There's your problem. You need to get a blog.
Well, I have to reset this really quick. Our ring girl, Liz, picked you on a date.
Yeah.
She asked you to read...
Well, it doesn't matter. No,
or talk Shakespearean to her because you said you talk Shakespearean language.
Yeah. Which we given you 4 months perform.
Now.
You can do what's
yeah,
thou
no,
like
something in Shakespeare, baby.
You got to do that. What's thou like again. Green eggs and ham?
No.
What's thou like
cannot,
them, Sam?
You cannot spring that on me again.
We're springing on you again.
No, you can't spring on me again, like... Right off the bat, you got to say, hey, next Tuesday.
You said, like, you were like, yeah, I know Shakespeare. And then it's like, when it comes to you, you were like, hold on a second. Like,
right, yeah.
But what did I do? I wrote it out, and I actually said something to you. I got to have time to think about it and actually, like, write it out.
Shakespeare didn't
and
have
I did.
Time to think
I did
about
that
it.
Later on just in that saying. Episode.
I gotcha, yep. Gotcha.
Shakespeare.
All right, we won't put you on the spot then.
All right. Any more than you already are.
If you say next Tuesday, Liz will be back. We want you to write something in between.
I will Google my ass off and have some Shakespeare.
Next Tuesday, I want you to talk some. I want it in iambic pentameter.
Okay.
Yes, iambic pentameter.
Okay.
And I know my meters.
I know you know.
Don't be
meters.
Trying to slip it past.
He's Canadian. He knows his meters.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
I know
next
my meters,
Tuesday.
Eh?
Next Tuesday, I will show up with a iambic pentameter in the style of Shakespeare love poem for Liz.
All right.
And I can only imagine what our good friend Anthony's thinking
what I'm
over
saying.
There. I
you
mean,
know.
Anthony, you're a professional athlete. Obviously got your looks, too. You're like, I don't need Shakespeare. I don't need anything.
Right, exactly.
You can just go
well,
out
thank you.
To the
he
club.
He can walk out the door right now it. And just go, yo, and all the women will come flocking
no,
to him.
See, no, and if you do you don't go to the bar, and you don't go to the club to pick up women. Just
Planned Parenthood?
I don't go anywhere.
Those chicks you know they put out.
That's why I'm relying on internet dating. Yeah, I don't go anywhere.
They put out and you're not going to get a paternity suit. I mean,
this is coming from the girl. Hold on. I call party foul.
Okay, no.
Exactly. Looks is everything she says, and she has like 9 look requirements. Liz, you can't say that after you say that. No. Liz has a height
Liz
requirement.
Has
you have a height requirement?
But there's
do you seriously have like a you must be this tall to ride this girl?
Oh, wow. You must be this tall to ride this ride. Is what she's no.
She's a heightist. That's wow. How tall is that? Like, do I make the cut or? Am I too wide? Is it
like is it just not shorter than you or is it a certain amount above you?
Like, do you need to be at belt height on him?
She likes
just
because
you don't like to,
five,
you don't,
right?
You want to ruin
I
your
like,
knees.
I like taller.
You like taller?
Like if I was
like, do you want to be that like Hayden Panettiere little cheerleader chick with like her 9-foot tall Russian guy?
Yes, Klitschko.
Yeah.
Do you want to walk around smelling his belly button all the time? Is that what you want? Yeah, they smell like cheese sometimes.
But sorry, I had to call you out on it because you have look requirements. They have to be fit. And they have to be a certain height.
She's nodding her head.
What is your height requirement?
I can't really speak on that because...
Oh, good God.
Last couple of people I've talked to, they were like my height, so...
Okay.
Okay, well, but if you have a requirement, though, like ideal man.
My requirement, like, I like abs and I like nipple piercings.
But she said looks isn't everything.
Well, I know a...
And abs. A
couple
are
of
nice.
Lesbians
abs
that are
plus.
Right there for you.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
It, I support Dave.
If you wait, let me ask you this though, Liz.
You can blame
if you you said looks aren't everything, but then you also have a looks requirement. If
well,
someone
it's not
did not,
but it comes into play.
What I'm saying
you're
is,
be
if
a
you found somebody
when you hit 35, you know that?
If you found somebody that you know made you feel just awesome all the time, made you laugh, like
tingly,
made you feel good about yourself, and all stuff like that,
and
you fell in love,
like
and you
cake.
Accidentally fell in love with them, but they didn't. Absolutely,
I'd make
did
them
not
get those requirements.
Say what again?
I would make them get those requirements.
I think deep down,
so you would tell
them
to hit the gym.
Abs, I would.
So
I
think we're all good. Yeah. All
right.
If you want to hit this, you'll be hitting the gym. Is what I believe the speech she'll be.
You'll be wearing those platform shoes Pee Wee Herman wears on to get the height requirement. everywhere you walk,
you're going to the gym every day, three times a day, starving yourself.
Because, I mean, I have a six-pack. It's just in a cooler.
That's right. Used to have a six-pack. Now it's more of a keg.
Yeah, but either way, like, they're under there.
I am not able to have a six-pack. It's actually genetically impossible.
No, you can get the redneck six-pack. Have you seen the little stupid
those
you're
are talking about the dad bod?
Yeah, those are
Love it. Is that the chicken wire they tie around and they undo it, and it's like six pack there?
Oh,
it's good. It's good. It's good. So we'll be back next Tuesday if David invites us back, of course.
Absolutely.
I want to thank Anthony for coming in.
Yay, Anthony Barnes.
Good luck on your fight, buddy.
Thank you. Thank
everyone, come out to luck. TFC Fight Zone. It's at Taylortown. Doors are at 6 or the fights start at 6. You can actually see Ring Girl Liz working around the ring.
One of those two. Either 220, 221, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Taylortown on Ecorse Road.
Yes.
In Taylor, Michigan.
Yep, tickets are still available. You can actually contact the undercard if you want tickets, and we'll hook you up. So we'll see everybody next Tuesday. Thank you very much, David. Thank you, Matt, for sitting in, too. Thank you very much. All right, we'll talk to everyone soon. Thanks, Rochelle. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
This is a previously recorded episode.